not to hear the cries coming through the high windows as he passed behind their backs, adding up the quantities of packets on each trolley. Maggie was becoming more and more agitated.
"Oh, poor little bugger! I can't stand much more of this. He's hungry, that's all."
She fumbled with a packet, dropping it on the floor, its contents spilling out in an accusing golden stream. Nelly quickly kicked the broken packet under the bench.
"Mag, he's coming back. Ask him for a toilet break, quick."
Maggie smoothed her worried features into a placating smile and looked over her shoulder, catching Albert's attention with her raised hand.
"I need to go to the lav, Albert," she whispered.
"Can't you wait?" Albert said irritably. "There's only 10 minutes to go."
Maggie crossed her legs and made a face.
"I'm afraid I'll have an accident."
"No, go on then."
Maggie scuttled off towards the double doors.
"You women drink too much tea, that's your trouble," he called after her, as Ethel Brown waved two fingers behind his back, which set Lily and Nelly giggling.
Soon the sounds of the baby's cries faded away as Maggie fed him at the factory gates, and not long after, the scream of the factory hooter sounded their release. Nellie Clark walked out of Pierce Duff's factory, arm in arm with Lily Bosher. A crowd of women and girls shuffled around them, many linking arms, some laughing, others looking about them. Nellie herself was searching the small crowd of young men who hung about the factory gates for one special face. One of the bolder boys took his hands from his pockets and whistled.
"Aye, aye, boys, here come the custard tarts."
More whistles followed, and some called out girls' names. Nellie peered over the heads of the crowd as she heard someone call hers. Sam, one of the delivery boys, was seated up on a cart, holding the horse's reins steady. She pretended not to hear him. Every day he offered to give her a lift on the cart back to her home in Vauban Street, next door to the carter's stables, where he worked with her father.
"He's not bad looking," whispered her friend Lily. "And he's here, regular as clockwork."
Nellie shook her head and shushed her friend.
"Leave off, Lily. I'm not getting up on that cart. Anyway, he's such a soppy apath. I'm not giving him the time of day."
Nellie, at 16, was a fresh-faced girl with bright blue eyes and a sweep of chestnut hair, which she attempted in vain to keep contained in a loose roll framing her face. She couldn't say why his attentions irritated her so much, but they did.
"You're not for me, Sam Gilby," she thought, as they swept on past the young man with his carefully brushed, wavy, dark hair.
Andy Turd, he jumped down and called after them.
"I was wondering, Nellie."
"Not interested," Lily called back as the two girls leaned into one another, their wide flat caps touching to form a shield against the young man's advances.
But after they had passed, another young man detached himself from the crowd and ran to catch up with Lily and Nellie.
"Hang on, girls."
At the sound of his voice, Nellie tightened her grip on her friend's arm. He was a tall, lithe fellow of about 20, and as he caught up with them, he joined his palms, swimming between them like a sinuous eel. They parted to allow him in, and he draped an arm over each of their shoulders.
"All set for tonight, you two?"
He kissed Lily on the cheek and attempted to do the same to Nellie.
"Get off, you saucy sod!"
She jerked her head back, but blushed all the same. Nellie had spotted Lily's brother, Ted, in the crowd, and now found herself angry at the rising blush which she was unable to disguise. He was a head taller than the two girls, and wore a flat cap and a white choker tied around his neck. His clothes, though obviously a docker's, always looked dashing on his long-limbed figure, and Nellie found herself noticing the jaunty angle of his cap.
"I told you we'll be there," said Lily. "Don't keep on about it."
"I'm not sure I can come," Nellie said. "My dad's not too keen on